Hey everybody, welcome to Tactical Blue Podcast. This is your host Hector Solis. I'm glad that you're here with me, and I'm gonna give you some information today as well as some of the latest news. So these are the latest news that we have this week. August 27, unfortunately, we had a dispatcher that was, she was killed when she arrived home. 24-year-old Marquita Wright, she's a dispatcher with the Beauregard Parish Sheriff's Office in, I believe it's Louisiana. She was killed after arriving home from her shift, which ended around 4:30 a.m. Before 5 a.m., the police got 911 calls of shots fired, and when they got there, they found her on the front porch. Unfortunately, she was dead at the time, and her kids were inside the home. However, they were not hurt. So please keep the family in your prayers, as well as if you have any information, make sure you contact the proper authorities and give them that information as soon as possible. We need to find the killer of this female dispatcher, which is really unfortunate of what happened. In other news from California, Los Banos police officers is found to be used unreasonable force against a suspect. So let me give you a little background on the information. It is really an unbelievable story you're about to hear is really, really crazy. So Los Banos, California, back in September 2013, Officer Jairo Acosta responded to a disturbance where a male assaulted his father, an 80-year-old man. So throughout the investigation, Officer Acosta talked to the suspect. Unfortunately, the suspect grabbed a pair of scissors and tried to stab the officer. At the moment, I don't have the exact details, but I can tell you that it's a really, really bad situation to be in. Officer Acosta responded to the lethal attack with lethal force, and he got his weapon out. There was a struggle that ensued, and Officer Acosta fired his service weapon twice, hitting the suspect in the chest as well in the leg. Well, I believe they wanted the chest, of course, to kill him, and Officer Acosta fortunately survived this attack. However, the suspect later died at the hospital. So that's not a problem. Officer Acosta did a badass job. He went home, and that's what you should do too, right? So eventually he was clear in the criminal part. However, you know, when you get involved in an officer shooting or anything like that, you're gonna get two courts. Number one, you're gonna get the criminal court, which is the if the prosecutors and the people are gonna find you if you're guilty of that shooting or not. So if you're gonna get a bill or no bill. So eventually you're gonna move on to the civil court, and in the civil court, even if you acted correctly and according to your policies, procedures, and any other thing that you're supposed to do, you could be found guilty. Okay, so, and unfortunately this time it happened with Officer Acosta. The civil jury indicted officer with unreasonable force by firing his service weapon for the second time. Yes, believe it or not, he fired his weapon twice, and they found that it's unreasonable. So the jury was awarded $2.75 million to the family. However, through legal battle, they went down to 30%. So the city only has to pay 30% of that. So that it doesn't matter. That's their thing, right? But this is the problem. So Officer Acosta fired his service weapon twice. Just because you fire your weapon once doesn't mean the threat is stopped. Okay, you need to stop the threat, whether it's one shot or 50, and that is, it is what it is. Every case is different. I don't have the details of this case, but I can tell you, it doesn't sound okay to me. All right, and it's unfortunately somebody died. However, the suspect, which the jury found to be the primary aggressor and as well as the perpetrator of the whole incident, and still they found Officer Acosta unreasonable with the use of force. So I'm gonna be posting the press release, which is right here on my screen, and I'm gonna be posting it on this video. As you can see right there on the screen, this is what the Los Banos Police Department in California told the public, and this is of what happened. So Officer Acosta, you did a good job. You're still here. I'm proud of you. I understand things happen, but brother, you keep going. We got your back. War on police officers still out there. And remember, this war is not only from the outside. Unfortunately, sometimes the administrators, I don't know what they're thinking, but definitely some of them don't have your back. Casper police officer treated unfairly by police and city administrators after being shot on the line of duty. Officer Jacob Carlson nearly died on May 6th after being shot twice in the leg and abdomen. The officer was treated at the hospital. He was transported and he needed over 100 units of blood in order to survive. He also had five heart attacks while the surgery was being done. So first of all, it's a miracle that this officer is alive. I'm glad he's alive and I'm glad that he is receiving the therapy that he needs. However, this hero was in administrative leave as part of the duties of the department that they put the officer on administrative leave. So in order to recover, of course, from his injuries. Unfortunately, his body is not reacting to the therapy and he still needs a little bit more. He still has difficulties walking and uneven areas. So that's definitely something you need in order to be a police officer, right? You're not going to be walking in straight surfaces all the time. So, well, through his ordeal, he received a Purple Heart, as well as a Medal of Honor by the police and the city for his efforts and unfortunately for what happened. So this is the problem. He got 15 days later after receiving this Medal of Honor and Purple Heart, he got called by the chief of police and they told him that he needed to come back to work, even though he was not ready to come back by physician's orders because he's not ready physically. So the chief of police informing he needed to return to work or take sick leave. Remember, you accumulate so much sick leave as being a full-time or part-time officer depending on your city, and if you run out, then what happened next? You'll have to come back no matter what, right? But this is unfair because this officer got shot in the line of duty. He did not ask for this. It's just part of the job, and the city should cover this administrative ordeals, okay? So the fact that the officer almost died and he's not even close to be clear for duty by his doctor did not faze the chief of police, Keith McFeeters. The chief went on removing the officer from leave, even if the officer attorney showed a letter from the physician stating Officer Carlson was not fit for duty at the moment. Eventually, there was a big ordeal with a press release and the chief saying, no, I did not say this. Yes, I did. Back and forth. The chief later apologized, stating he failed to communicate with the officer. Well, shame on you, chief of police, because that's your job. And you know, if he got shot, he's not ready for duty, then you need to step up and talk to the administrators and the mayor, the city manager, whoever you need to talk to, and tell them, hey, you need to back down, okay? Because this is my officer and my officer deserves the best because he put his life on the line, okay? So shame on you, sir, and I hope that you think about what you're doing, and I hope you backed up all your officers because you don't seem to be that type. In other news, we have new data that relates to gun control, as some of the opposition wants to do in this country. So it turns out that the United States is not the leader in mass shootings throughout the world. So what a surprise, right? A lot of this agenda is out there to stop guns, even from law-abiding citizens like you and me. And definitely that is a problem. So you probably heard about the famous research done by criminologist Adam Lankford. You probably heard many of the politicians from the left stating different things from his research, as well as quotes or numbers. And I can tell you that it's a problem because I'm about to explain to you the new data and the bias that is behind it. So his research hit hard on the liberal side, since he used his work, and I think there's something behind that, right? But I cannot tell. So research found his data is not accurate, and in fact, they tried to contact him to ask for explanations. Since then, he denied all contact to them, and he is not responding to any emails or granting any interviews. So let me give you a little bit of his work. His work stated from 1961 to 2012, the U.S. had 31% of public mass shooters, despite having less than 5% of the population. So that's what his work is based on. So pretty much saying that we are majority of mass shooters or mass shootings happen here in the United States, and the rest of the world is like super safe, right? However, a new study by the Crime Prevention Research Center analyzed Langford's work and found big discrepancies in his work. Although it is hard to count every single mass shooting in the world, you know, because like some countries do not have the proper research or the data available. Some of the countries do have that data, and unfortunately Langford left some of the data out in order to accommodate his criteria. And the new data shows the U.S. share of shooters falls from 31%, as stated above, to 1.43%. Okay, so we only have 1% of the mass shootings. So that tells you the majority of the mass shootings happen outside the United States. And let me quote, U.S. ranks 56th per capita in the rate of attacks and 61st in mass public shootings murder rate. Norway, Finland, Switzerland, and Russia all have at least 45% higher rates of murder from mass public shootings than the United States. So that tells you, there you go. These countries, they have more gun control, have more mass shootings. So is there something related there? I don't know. You tell me. So if you want to look up the information, please talk to John Lott with two T's, Lott. He's the president of the Crime Prevention Research. So there we go. So there's some of that data. I'm not surprised by it, but hey, it is what it is. I'm just here to inform you about it. Another news, unfortunately, a code enforcement officer killed in Utah. This is really bad, and let me explain something to you. Okay, so some of you work for small towns and also serve as code enforcement. You have like dual duties, and just because you go to a house several times for code enforcement doesn't mean that the house is safe. Okay, and unfortunately this is what happened with West Valley City code enforcement officer Jill Robinson. She was killed by this suspect Kevin Billings. All right, and then let me give you a little of the story. What happened was Officer Robinson received a call from Billings stating that hey, that we need to talk about these issues that I'm having. Like, I guess a lot of the neighbors complain on him, whatever was happening, you know, with his property. So as a good officer, Officer Robinson made an appointment to meet with him. All right, when she arrived at his home, Mr. Billings shot her, all right, poured gasoline all over her and set her on fire. Then he went to his next door neighbor, which he believed that was the complainant of all these code enforcement problems, and set his house on fire. Unfortunately, there were some pets that die as well as property damage. And during the investigation, officers found 1,000 yards of detonation cord and more than 400 blasting caps, which the records show. The investigation is still pending, and there is more ongoing investigation, right? So, but this subject, it is in custody, and thank God, and he has no bail, so he needs to go and freaking die in prison, and he needs to have the lethal injection. So that's my opinion. Now let's talk about safety. So please, if you are from a small town or you're a code enforcement agent or officer, if you can, please call for backup. Never go to a home alone, all right? You are not making their day better. You have to understand that you're already there to issue a citation, whether it's just an information that you're gonna try to gather. At the end, you know you have to do your job and you might have to issue a citation. People don't like citations. I don't like them either, but that we have to abide by the rules, right? So remember, if you go to their home, you're in their castle. They know the weak points, they know the advantage points, they know where the weapons are, they know where to attack you. So please keep your head on a swivel. If you see something, if you're a code enforcement officer and you're not armed, please get out of there, okay? It's not worth your life. And if you're an officer, please call it out, say something. I want to see you go back home, okay? No, it's just code enforcement, okay? Don't take it too personal, anything like that. It's just code enforcement. So remember, your job is to go home every night, okay? Already on a lighter note to finish this podcast, I want to show you this. This is really funny. A Beijing inventor, or a Chinese inventor in Beijing, decided to take his transformer vehicle out on the street so people can see it and take a look at it and take pictures and all that good stuff. So he was driving around the city when police officers from the city of Beijing decided to stop him and tell him that he needed to stop, all right? And unfortunately, he had to stop, and he was really embarrassed about it, which is okay. I mean, it happens. He tried to do something fun, right? But these pictures and videos are on social media everywhere, and he's I'm showing him right now on the video. This car is actually badass, and I wish I had one because I'll drive it around everywhere. And I wish I had a police car transformer because that would be cool. So he was driving around and he was told to go home. So the police follow him back, and I don't think he's going to be taking that vehicle out anymore anytime soon. So please check it out. I'm going to post it on Tactical Blue on Facebook, the link, so you can watch the video. So it's really, really funny. All right. Thank you very much for stopping by today and listening to me. I'm going to be bringing you more information soon. And I'm going to be bringing new guests, including Mike the Cop. I already talked to him and he agreed to be on this podcast, as well as other Instagram and Facebook social media influencers in law enforcement and other operators. I'm going to bring you a lot of information. It's going to be a great podcast and you're going to love it. So if you want to see more of this podcast, please share with your friends and like this podcast. I'm going to be giving giveaways soon, all right? All kinds of products. It's going to be fun. We're all going to have fun. And remember, Tactical Blue is almost achieving 500 followers on Facebook and almost 400 on Instagram. So we're really close. So let's keep it up. Let's keep sharing this information. If you like what you see here and the information I gave away and all the posts and everything, please like the page and share it. And if you like to see anything special in the podcast, please let me know. Contact me. My information is in the Facebook or on Instagram. You can contact me, message me, and let me know what you want to see. So in the meantime, please be safe, watch your six, and I hope to see you next week.